I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the trade deadline, it is this week. What will the Mets do? What will the Yankees do? What are some of the big names that may be on the move? For some bold predictions, for some predictions of what may happen, we bring in Mike Petriello from MLB.com and StatCast. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
So you wrote an article, for those who may have missed it, on MLB.com this week, and you made 25 trade deadline predictions. And we're going to start with the New York teams and players where you think might be the best fits or what direction they should do. And first, when you wrote the column, you know, the Yankees are so hard. Just when you think maybe they show a sign of life, they have another stomach punch of a loss. So if you were the Yankees and you were advising Brian Cashman right away, would you be buying or selling or stuck in neutral?
I think they have to be buying. I mean, obviously everybody knows the DNA of this team is not to sell. But even if you look at where they are right now, forget the division. They are not going to win the division, clearly. But even if we can all agree that they've been super disappointing and mediocre, and they have been, they're still only 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. And one of the teams ahead of them is Seattle, who I don't trust at all because they've been outscored by like 55 runs so far this year. You know, so can the Yankees make up 3.5 games on Oakland? That's perfectly reasonable, I think. And I don't think that means you trade all your top prospects and you go nuts and you go all in. But what's the alternative? You know, I keep hearing people talk about, well, they sold in 2016. And it's like, yeah, they sure did. They had some high quality relievers on expiring contracts in Miller and Chapman. Who are those guys now? You know, like, I don't think they want to sell, and I don't really think they're in position to do so, even if they did want to.
All right. So, again, you're advising Brian Cashman. Give me best fits of players you think would be a good fit for the New York Yankees at the trade deadline.
You know, I hate to go with the chalk, but the name that's been rumored the most is Starling Marte, and he certainly fits pretty well, right? I mean, the Yankees I've needed a center fielder since the moment Aaron Hicks went down, because Brett Gardner's not been great. I'm not going to pin all that on him, because you shouldn't really have a 37-year-old playing center field every day in the first place anyway. And they had to have Aaron Judge playing there for a couple days, which is not what you want. So that would be the number one name to go for. The problem is there are many teams that would like a center fielder. The Phillies could desperately use a center fielder. The Astros could desperately use a center fielder. It's going to be an issue this year, I think, between center field and starting pitcher, that there are lots of teams who need these guys and just no supply. Like, I legitimately don't know where you're getting starting pitcher. And aside from Marte, it's going to be tough to get a center fielder. But that has to be the main goal for the Yankees.
So speaking of starting pitching, in light of the, you know, as you're saying, there may not be a lot of starting pitchers that are on the move, given the market and the incredible demand for that, how would you evaluate a trade like what the Mets just did for Rich Hill? I know everybody always breaks out in hives when you trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. You think they have the secret agenda of something that's just going to go awfully wrong. But how do you evaluate that Mets trade for Rich Hill?
I loved it. And by the way, on that Rays thing, you're right. Everybody thinks that. But don't forget, they also traded away Jake Cronenworth, who turned out to be a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. And Germán Márquez was a Rays prospect as well. When I saw this trade for the Mets, I was like, this is great. You know, they desperately need some sort of like mid to back end of the rotation depth. Like, the thing nobody really wants to say, even though it's true, is if they have Jacob deGrom, they're in the mix. And if he's out, then none of the rest of it matters because you cannot replace him, right? But as far as the trade with the Rays go, when I saw the return, I was like, wait a minute. Tommy Hunter, who's hurt, and this, you know, catcher who's not on anybody's top 30 list, and that's it. So this is really just about the fact that the Rays traded for Nelson Cruz, and now they're trying to offload some salary, right? So from the Mets' point of view, it's great. They got him almost for free, and you just have to use him right because, you know, he's over 40 years old. He's not the kind of guy you can push, you know, into the deep innings, and I know they tried that today, and it didn't go well, you know, but if you just consider him for what he is, like the kind of guy who could turn around a lineup twice, give you five good to above average innings, that is exactly the kind of guy they needed at the back of that rotation.
Talking to Mike Petriello from MLB.com about the trade deadline, and we're starting with the New York teams, with Yankees and Mets. And, okay, so mentioned your top priority if you were the Yankees would be a guy, you know, fix center field, a guy like Starling Marte. If you were the Mets, given where they're at, and I agree with you on the Jacob DeGrom situation, it's impossible to know, but if there is a healthy DeGrom and the Mets are in the postseason, that is a team that has a chance. And if they don't have him, it changes everything. But you can't predict that. Given where the Mets are to get them to the postseason, what if you were advising now Sandy Alderson, what would be your top priority?
I think another set of arms, maybe another similar-ish starting pitcher to Hill. Just because, like I said, there are no top-end starters available. They are not going to be the team that gets Max Scherzer if he's even moved, which I'm not convinced of. And a reliever. Like, you look at the bullpen right now, and I like Aaron Loop a lot. He's done a good job this year, but he's the only lefty they have. Mm-hmm. I looked it up the other day, and they have, like, the third or fourth, you know, fewest relief pitching pitches from lefties, right? And it's like, there's no such thing as having too many good lefties in a bullpen. So I suggested maybe Andrew Chafin from the Cubs. And he's not a huge name. You know, he's not going to be like a earth-shattering difference maker, but he's an above-average lefty on a bullpen that I think needs one. Like, when the Mets bullpen is healthy and operating at full strength, I think it's really good. But everybody's seeing, like, okay, how much do we trust Diaz right now? You know, Lugo has the talent, obviously, but his season's been sort of up and down. If they can get another bullpen, you kind of got to work backwards in the sense, because you're not going to get that top starter because he's not there. So build up depth from the other side of it. Because when you get to the playoffs, assuming you get to the playoffs, with the days off, you don't really have your starters going crazy deep into games. Obviously a DeGrom type, sure. But everybody else, you know, you can load up with bullpen guys as much as you need to. So there's no such thing as having too many of them.
All right, so now we're going to start throwing out names, because your 25 predictions, you had a list of 25 names, and you said, you know, going, staying, and where might someone go. You're saying that there are no top-end difference-making starters in this market, no Justin Verlander type. So with where the Washington Nationals are and Mike Rizzo and that team, you really think they are not going to trade Max Scherzer?
You know what's funny is every year I write a version of this article. That's what my editor asks me to. And every year I turn off my Twitter mentions because they're like, well, what about my team? How come, you know, you have my team making no trades? And it's like, well, I didn't list every single trade that I think might possibly happen, just like 25 interesting guys. As far as Scherzer goes, I think it's weird to say this because the guy's going to the Hall of Fame. He's obviously one of the greatest pitchers of his generation. He's somehow still underrated, I think. Like, we sort of think about him as, like, oh, he's in his mid-30s. He's just not that good anymore. And if you look at him this year, he's been fantastic. There's two problems with that. The first is that the Nationals have never been the kind of team to make this sort of trade. Like, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. we were all like, you should trade Bryce Harper. Definitely trade Bryce Harper. And it was reported they had to deal with, I believe, Houston to do it. And ownership said, no, we're not going to do it. Beyond that, Scherzer has full no trade control. He can say, I want to stay. He can say, I want to go, but only to this particular team. We don't know what his feelings are on that. And also, he's kind of banged up right now. You know, he's not 100% healthy. So you take all those things into consideration, they should trade him. I just, it's hard to see it actually happening based on the recent history of that team.
All right, so if you take Scherzer out, then some of the names that have been thrown out there on the starting pitching market, we're talking about guys like John Gray of the Rockies, we're talking about Gibson from the Rangers, we're talking about Berrios from the Twins. Who do you see of the starting pitching market that's possible? Who do you see going and, you know, trading, being traded and could make an impact?
It's sad. I think we're talking about, like, Alex Cobb and Wade Miley, which is not that inspiring. I mean, look at the names you mentioned. John Gray, I think, would be a really good fit, except nobody seems to know who's running the Rockies front office right now. Like, their general manager stepped down in April, and two of his lieutenants left, and they are so understaffed that we've been reading reports that said that the interim GM is hard to get a hold of. Like, I almost wonder if you should just tweet at Rockies, and maybe that'll be your best bet to get a hold of them. So as far as, like, what are they going to do? I don't know. Can they handle more than just trading Trevor Story? Absolutely no idea, you know? And so you look at that, and you look at some of the other names. Like, Kyle Gibson was this guy who was, like, okay-ish for, like, 7 years with Minnesota, and then he wasn't that great last year. And then this year, he was shockingly really good for, like, 2 months. And I remember last week saying to myself, like, okay, I got to figure this out. I got to, like, deep dive into this guy and see what's different. And I started looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, well, his strikeouts aren't up, and his walks aren't really down that much. It seems like he's just doing a slightly better job of avoiding home runs. And then the last two times out, he's been terrible. He walked 8 in his last start. Are you going to, like, give up top prospects for that? I don't think teams that look beyond ERA will, you know? And then, you know, John Means has been kind of hurt, and Baltimore want to keep him. I don't know where you go to get these guys. You can get Berrios out of Minnesota if you're going to trade your top three prospects because he's under control. You know, beyond that, it's a graveyard out there.
All right, so in light of that, a team like the Mets did pretty well then, even in getting what they've gotten so far with the Rich Hill. It makes that move look even better. Some other big names that are out there then, let's start with maybe one of the biggest ones, Chris Bryant. Is he the Cubs? Obviously, unlike the Rockies, we actually know who you can call to make a trade, and seem like they're set up for business here, and have actually not even, like, signaled. They've pretty much come out and said, we're going to be trading. So, Chris Bryant, is he being traded, and if so, best fit?
I think so, yes. You know, it seemed like they were maybe in the mix when they lost 11 in a row. The only uncertainty to me about the Cubs is that they have so many of these big stars in the final year of their contracts. It's him, and it's Baez, and it's Rizzo, and Kimbrel's not in his final year, but next to the final year. And it's like, you can't trade all of them. It just seems so unlikely that they would let the fans burn down Wrigley next week because they traded all of these guys. So somebody's going to stay. I think Bryant's the most likely to leave, just because he seems the least likely to sign an extension there, you know, given the talk we've heard out of there, and because his flexibility is huge. Like, as much as I like Rizzo, he's only a first baseman. You know, I like Baez very much too, but he's been super inconsistent the last 2 years. Bryant's a fantastic fit because, yeah, he's a third baseman, but he can also play all three outfield spots, and he can also play first base. So I had him going to the Giants just because right now both of their quarter infielders are hurt, and their left field spot's been pretty terrible, so he could fit in everywhere. I started thinking almost maybe a little more about the Dodgers just because Bellinger hasn't been great this year, and Betts has been hurt, and Turner is still a good hitter, but not the fielder he once was. I know Mets fans want to hear it's going to be the Mets, and hey, maybe it will. I just don't think that's an urgent need anymore. You know, like, the offense has been pretty good. I like J.D. Davis a lot, not saying he's better than Alonso is, or excuse me, than Bryan is. I just don't think that's as urgent a need for them as it once was. So there's going to be a lot of demand for Bryant. I do think he's the most likely Cub to get moved.
By the way, you mentioned name dropped Alonso, even if inadvertently there for a moment. You guys did for Home Run Derby, didn't you do a stat cast? You did a stat cast version of that and actually got a chance to work and call the Home Run Derby. And, what was that like, that experience, and what did you take away thinking about Pete Alonso? You know, everybody always talks about the curse of the Home Run Derby and all this. It doesn't seem to be happening to Pete. What did you take away from being there live and calling the Home Run Derby? What did you take away about Pete?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, every game I've done, every broadcast I've done for the last 2 years had been remote from the Bristol studios in Connecticut. So that was the first time I was actually at a ballpark calling games. So that by itself was an incredible event because Ohtani and Soto and everything. The thing that got me the most about Alonso, aside from the fact, obviously, he was crushing baseballs, and I'm not 100% sure how much this came through on the TV broadcast or not, is at one point he took his time out and most guys are doing that, you know, to get a Gatorade and take a breath and regroup or whatever. He did it just to rile up the crowd. You know, he looked like he was Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, just like trying to. It's not his home park. It's not full of Mets fans, and they loved it. And then during the commercial, he's singing along to "Don't Stop Believin'." You know, like however much showmanship counts for an event like that, he has it in spades. And then obviously, he crushed the ball, and so much credit, by the way, to his pitcher, the Mets bench, who was just pinpointing everything. Like we forget it's not an 8-man competition. It's a 16-man competition with all the pitchers as well. It was just great. I mean, like I said, it was full of Rockies fans. It wasn't full of Mets fans. And by the end, they were supporting him, you know, even against Trey Mancini, who's an incredible story of his own. So that was one of the most fun nights of the last 2 years for me, is just to be there and see Alonso pound like that.
Talking to Mike Petriello from MLB.com about the trade deadline. We did a little detour there. Back on the trade deadline, so another big name. We've talked around it a little bit, but as you said with the Rockies, not sure of the situation, but how likely Trevor Story being traded, and what would be, you know, who's the most likely team there, and what would be the fit, let's say, with either of the New York teams?
You know, there's still a small part of me that thinks they won't, even though they obviously should. And they won't re-sign him, obviously, so they would just get the compensation pick, which I guess is possible because he's not necessarily having a great year. But what's happening is if you look at him and you see this guy who's not having a fantastic year, most teams will start to look under the hood. You know, like, is he slowing down? Is he swinging and missing more? Is the quality of contact worse? You know, all the stuff you can get out of advanced metrics and all this. And for him, for the most part, it's not. And what also people love to think about, the guys who come out of Colorado, is, oh, he's only good at home. You know, he stinks on the road. And it's like, okay, well, have we not seen DJ LeMahieu be good for the Yankees? Mm-hmm. Have we not seen Arenado be good for the Cardinals? Like, that's a myth. It's not a real thing. I think they have to trade him. I could see him, not with the Mets. I don't think, I know Lindor's hurt, but he's always been a clear fit for the Yankees. I mean, get Torres off a shortstop, get LeMahieu freed up to, you know, mostly play first base, I guess, because Boyd's status is still uncertain. But I don't know. I see a fit with Oakland there if they can figure out a way to make the money work, which is always their issue, because Andrus has been pretty lousy this year for them. And if they can do that, they kind of have a history of trading for guys in the last couple of months before their free agency year, so they don't have to have that salary on the book long term. So I could see that being a fit. But if not Oakland, second place team for me, yeah, it's probably the Yankees.
All right, last one before I let you go is a team that certainly impacts one of the New York teams, and that's the Phillies. And there seems to be rumors all over the place that the Phillies are going to be active. What are you thinking would be best fits or potential that are actually doable to the Phillies?
The Phillies are kind of a mess. Like, I was listening to, I won't say where or who, but a highly respected radio baseball program, not on the Fan, but somewhere else. And the other day, and they were talking about how the Phillies are the sleeping giant, and they're going to overtake the Mets. And I get it, the Mets have just lost to Grom and Lindor, so vulnerable, totally fine. And I'm like, I don't see it. Like, every other day, there's a new guy on that team who goes down to the COVID list because they all refuse to get vaccinated. And the pitching staff has just been kind of a mess. The left side of the infield, if you look at Gregorius and Bohm, has been, if not the weakest left side of the infield in baseball, pretty close to it. And yet they find themselves in this spot where it's like, you just gave Real Muto big money, and you've got Harper who has big money, and McCutcheon is 34, and Nola is a star, and Wheeler's a star. Like, they're not necessarily getting younger, right? So it's like they're not good enough to go for it, but they're in a spot where they can't help but go for it, you know? So I think they have to, and I think above all other teams in baseball, except for maybe Toronto, this team needs bullpen. They need Craig Kimbrell. You know, if they let Kimbrell get traded and it's not to them, then they have made a huge mistake, because I can't think of another team, again, except maybe the Blue Jays, where Kimbrell helps more.
All right, it'll be interesting to see. It comes this week, the baseball trade deadline. We expect a lot of activity this week. Mike Petriello does a fantastic job And you know what, Mike, we're going to have you back another time. I'll tell you a topic I want to talk about at some point will be all the people who want to blame analytics for all that's wrong in the world. But I could probably do an entire show on that with you. So we'll park that for now and just focus on the trade deadline. But thanks so much for the time. Catch up with you down the road.
Thank you. And just remember, everybody, the Dodgers won the World Series last year. Famously analytical team.
Right. And so people make bad decisions. Data doesn't. We'll just say that. Appreciate the time. Quick break. We'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.